Hey, what's going on, everybody? This clip was taken from episode 168 with Greg Coker. He's a Little Bird pilot with a 160th SOAR. In this clip, he describes being shot down in Iraq in 2004 by an SA-16 while he was flying his Little Bird. Pretty insane story. If you're enjoying the show, make sure to share it, subscribe, leave a review. That's huge. Leaving a review is probably one of the most important things you can do. The second most important thing you can do is go over to patreon.com, support the show. Look up Former Action Guys at patreon.com. Appreciate it.
You know, I mentioned the concern is, obviously, because you're doing these low-flying missions and stuff like that, the danger is being shot down or being hitting a structure or something that you may not see in your night vision. Unfortunately, you've had that experience, not hitting something, but being shot down. Can you talk us through like what that was like? Because I'll be honest, man, I've seen a couple shoot down videos of helicopters, and it never seems like it goes well for a helicopter, you know? So the fact that you're even here and giving this interview and talking about it is just on another level.
Yeah, I'm blessed for sure. And so that was Iraq 04, and it was March on 18 March. And I'll just kind of draw this picture. So the insurgency had started in late fall of 03 because the Americans were there. And I mean, every Al-Qaeda and every Muslim was coming to fight us. So we were hitting targets. We were really busy in Fallujah, Ramadi, and then Amarillo. So if you draw it on a map, it's a triangle. We kind of nicknamed it the Devil's Triangle. In that triangle, there have been 7 U.S. helicopters shot down in that triangle over a period, and it wasn't very long. It was probably, I don't know, 5-6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And I don't think there had been any survivors. I mean, it was 58. A couple Marine Corps helicopters had been shot down, a couple Chinooks full of, you know, troops. And we'd been in, we were operating in Fallujah the night of the 18th, night morning of the 19th. And we got intel off of a target that another guy, that high value target that we were hunting, was going to be at a house in Fallujah at 10 that morning. So we were like, oh God, man, no. Cause we hadn't done a day mission since 3-4 October, 1993. We all know how that turned out. So that was in Mogadishu, Battle of the Black Sea, or Black Hawk Down. So the sergeant major says, hey, you guys just, you hang out here. We're going to drive in and, you know, crank up 100%, get on the radios. If we need you, we'll call you. And we could have been there in 2 or 3 minutes for fire support. So we did. They got that, they hit that target and got some intel off it. So, hi, honey. There's my beautiful wife. And so this other high-value target was down in Amarillo, which is about 16, 17 miles south of Fallujah. So Sergeant Major's like, hey, we're just going to drive down there. We're going to kill this guy, and then I want you guys to go back to Baghdad. We're still living at Baghdad International Airport there. The force was still there. And we've been up for days, man, operating, you know. And so we said, okay. So we flew back to Baghdad to BIOP, Baghdad International Airport. And it was around, it was just after noon. And a radio call came in that that recce team had a tick. So a tick is troops in contact. So they'd been ambushed and they'd stirred the hornet's nest down there. And it was the wild, wild west, man. I mean, there were bad guys everywhere. Blue, of course, you know, we all know what happened. Fallujah 1, Fallujah 2, Ramadi. And just some of the Marines had some of the toughest fighting since World War II. And the 82nd Airborne, they were in there in the beginning, you know, again, some of the hardest fighting since World War II. And So we made the decision, hey, we're going to go help the guys, man. They're in trouble. So we jumped in the AHs. It was, I don't know, probably 11 or 12 minute flight to their location, and got on station, and we had done what we needed to do. And the troop commander called and says, hey, we're going to line up and we're going, you know, we did what we needed to do. We're headed back to Baghdad. Roger that. But when we took off from there, every one of us said the same thing. The hair just stood up on our necks. It's that sixth sense.
Mm-hmm.
It was daytime, you know, and it was a bad, bad place. It just was. But, and we all know that if you get in trouble, we're coming. And we don't care what the situation is, but we're coming to get you.
Yeah.
Never shall I fail a comrade. Never shall I leave a fallen comrade. So we went and been on station probably 6-7 minutes. And I'd flown really low over the vehicles. So there were three up armored gun trucks and then two Panders. So they're big six wheel armored vehicles that Delta drives.
Yeah.
Kind of did the swoop just to check, make sure everything they were. And I started a climbing right hand turn. I was at about 160 feet headed in a southwestern direction, and boom, this freaking giant explosion. And I was like, holy crap. The aircraft started shaking. And my co-pilot in the left seat said it was about a 1 meter long. He said it was a white hot rod went right by my head. It was an SA-16 shoulder launch, you know, IR seeker. And that's what had been shot at us. Two of the guys on the ground saw the shot, came from a two-story building. So they suppressed immediately. And then, you know, they're like, oh, crap, man, Greg's hit. And it's really weird that, I mean, the best way I can explain it is that my world went frame by frame by frame like a movie reel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were just to look at those, it just went click, click, click. Everything slowed down. But that's that adrenaline. You know, understand the physiology of us, what happens. And I went to work, man. I entered an auto rotation and started down. And I do recall I had a tailwind. So that wasn't the best conditions to, you know, to perform an auto rotation. Plus we were full of, we shot a little bit, but had gas and ammo on, so we were real, real heavy. And, you know, a helicopter pilot, we use, you know, like trees or buildings or things to help us judge our distance from the ground or height above the ground, because there are certain things, mechanics, that we have to do in an auto rotation to get that aircraft safely on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So and we have a radar altimeter in our helicopter. So I was cross checking very, very quickly. And I saw it, you know, at 75 feet, I need to start a decel and then, you know, prepare for my touchdown. And I remember seeing 75 feet. I did a real aggressive decel because I didn't want much ground run, because it's just dirt. You know, there's nothing out there to look at to judge your height above the ground. And then at about 20 feet, you want to level the helicopter and then pull cushion with the collective. It just kind of slows you down. And then about the last 2 or 3 feet, you pull the rest of that collective, and it puts pitch in those rudder blades to cushion that landing. So mm-hmm. it's just a powered off landing is what it is. So I did everything. You know, and later I was thinking about, you know, Neil Armstrong landing on the moon. I was like, I got one shot, man. Don't screw this up. And we landed, and the other AH, he saw us. And, you know, later he's like, dude, it was the prettiest auto rotation I'd ever seen in my life. And I was like, well, I only had to do one.
Yeah.
course, the guy's on the ground, so now they're fully engaged. They're maneuvering, you know, to protect us. And then the other AH went to go start support them with the CAS. And we touched down, and we slid about, I don't know, it's probably about 35, 40 meters. Hi, honey. And just, I mean, and again, it was just slow motion. It was just frame by frame. I can remember every little bit of it. But it's that dirt over there, and it's not sand, it's dirt, but it's just like talcum powder. So that had come in the cockpit. And I made sure the collector was all the way down. I just held everything where I had it. And we went down a bit of a slope into some soft dirt. And the skid stuck because I was still carrying some airspeed. When the skid stick, you do this.
Mm-hmm.
We started, and I remember hearing the rotor blades hit the dirt, and then going, and I grew up cowboying and breaking horses, and you know, and when a horse starts bucking, well, you always, you know, you kind of do this right here. And I can remember, I was like, oh no, you know, and we kept going. We wound up rolling end over end 2.5 times when we came to rest and birded upside down, my side low, and knocked us both out just very shortly. But I came to, and you know, the first thing you want to do, you do that check. Hey, my feet. Okay, I got hands. I'm, you know, those are good. Mm-hmm. I can move my legs. But I kept hearing this popping sound. I was like, what in the Sam Hill? Is that gunfire? No, it's not gunfire. And I remember hearing the other AA shooting miniguns. And I remember hearing the guys, their 50s going off and their weapons. And this popping, it just getting. And then I was like, holy crap, that's ammo cooking off.
Mm.
We were on fire. I mean, we were fully engulfed on fire.
Damn.
So I looked at my co-pilot. Well, I grabbed my rifle. We carry our M4s right there in the cockpit with us. I mean, right with arm's reach. And so I told my co-pilot, and I looked at him. Well, he had blood all over his face. And I was like, oh, man, did he get hit? The little bird has a history of the shoulder harnesses not locking in a crash sequence. Mm. So what happens is the pilot hits the cyclic right with his mouth. And, oh, thank you, dear. So I thought about that, and there's just a million things going on in my head. And then I was like, okay, security of the aircraft. There's a little black helicopter, just got shot down,
mm-hmm.
300 meters from, you know, the bad guys. We just stirred this hornet's nest up. So I told him, I said, hey, I put my hand on his shoulder. And keep in mind, we're upside down at this time. And I said, meet me over here at the 3:00. And he nodded his head, because you don't want to meet in the front of a gun bird, because if a rocket goes off or a bullet goes off, then it could hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my rifle. I crawled out. I tried to stand up, and my right leg didn't work. And I took a step, and I fell down. I got up. I took a step. I fell down. And what had happened is I'd broken my neck and my L-spine in the crash sequence. I cracked my helmet when I hit the door frame in the crash sequence. But, man, you're just running on adrenaline at this point. And, our bodies are amazing. Our brains are amazing at those times. And you know, you've been in those times, man. I gotta perform. I gotta work. I gotta do my job. And you just don't quit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I finally got down on the ground, and I was like, man, maybe my leg's broken, you know? So I pulled my pant leg up, looked, and it wasn't broken. I felt kind of did a self-assessment. What it was, I'd gotten a spinal cord stinger in my L spine, and it just mashed on that you know, that root that comes out. My leg wasn't working just right.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, I got to ensure safety of this, you know, me and my co-pilot.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a, I just kind of did a walk 360 degrees. I could see the other AH, you know, in his dive shooting and braking, and I could hear the other vehicle shooting. And then I thought about in our rucks, and they hang in the cargo area right behind us where the minigun cans sit. Well, we carry our night vision goggles, we carry grenades, water, ammo. I was like, oh man, I need to get my ruck out of there. Well, I turn around and look, that cargo area is fully engulfed in fire now. I mean, this helicopter is burning, dude. And I was like, crap, where's my co-pilot? So I walk back over there, I get down on my hands and knees, and I'm like, get out right now. And he nodded his head. So I got back up, and I kind of took a knee, just in case somebody, you know, started coming up to us. And I glanced back, and I don't know what the time was. I have no idea. I glanced back, no co-pilot. So I said, okay. So I got back up there. I got on my belly, and I crawled inside the cockpit. And keep in mind, he's upside down hanging in his harness. And I just reached up there, and I grabbed the latch.
Mm-hmm.
And down on his head he goes. And then he kind of, you know, he's kind of rolled over looking. He's like, I said, and I grabbed him. And right when I pulled the latch, the fire was just rolling around his left arm.
Jeez.
So, yeah. And the ammo was cooking off. And I thought about the rockets. I had 17 pounders on board. I was like, man, what are those things going to do if they, you know, are they going to explode? Are they going to take off? Or, you know, they just lay there and burn. Never did anything.
That's crazy. I would have thought they would have launched at least.
Me too. But so I got him, I pulled him up on top of me, and then I just started kind of kicking back, you know, and we kind of rolled to the side. I said, you okay? And he's like, yeah. I said, okay, man. I said, let's get up. And we moved about 40, 50 meters to the east facing the Ville. And there was a bit of a defilade there. And I said, hey, this is a good spot. I said, look, we're both kind of jacked up. And he got in a prone, and then I got on a knee. And I said, hey, if you see something or if you hear something, you know, just tug on me or sing out or whatever. I said, let's put both sets of eyes. I didn't want to shoot a friendly.
For sure.
And I mean, we were all jacked up. We were pumped up on adrenaline. Then I heard a truck, and I go, hey, here comes a vehicle. I heard it stop, and then again we were in, you know, a bit of a low piece of low ground there. Well, I saw this ball cap, then I saw a beard. And I was like, and he was running full tilt, and I was like, I know him. That's Chaz. and he stops, and he just looks at us. And then he takes off running again. Well, we're you know, standing up. And he gets to us, and, man, he throws his arms around us and hugs us. He goes, man, we thought you guys were dead. I said, no, man, we ain't dead. And later he told me, I asked him for a fire extinguisher. go put the fire out on the helicopter. But, oh, I was just sick, man. I was like, doggone it. I've lost the helicopter, and I've hurt, you know, my brother. And Chaz looks at me, and he goes, he was in one of the gun trucks, and he says, what do you want to do? My nickname's Gravy. He goes, what do you want to do, Gravy? I said, I want to go find that son of a bitch and kill him. He goes, get in the truck. So, yeah, we spent the next 6 hours in a gunfight.
That's crazy, man. Like, you were so lucky. Yeah. You know, yeah. That's to get we're shot lost. Down in a helicopter and survive is just unheard of almost.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and they said we were the only crew. We were the 8th helicopter shot down in that triangle. I've got a theory about that. because there were no more. And you can tell, you know, those SAs, SA-7, SA-14, SA-16, the Stinger, post-Stinger, mm-hmm. they all have a signature, a smoke signature. And the two guys that saw the shot, they said, dude, it was an SA-16. Well, there weren't. That's a very advanced weapon. Yeah,
for sure.
And you know, they had reported to us there were no 16s in country, maybe some 14s. But and then they confirmed it. They scooped up the, you know, burnt up helicopter, and they sent it off. They did forensics on it, but they found a piece of metal in the right-hand gun box that they confirmed it was an SA-16.
That's so crazy, man.
Works as advertised.
Yeah, I guess. That's just crazy. I mean, did you know when you heard the explosion, did you know you had been shot down, or did you just think like maybe the motor just blew up or something?
No, I knew we'd been hit with something. Yeah. There was no doubt, my man, it was a traumatic. I mean, the whole aircraft just shuddered. But you know, it's like, oh man. You know, it's all training. I'm an instructor pilot too, so you know, I mean,
muscle whistles memory.
Start going off and lights and yeah, I just entered an auto.
Yeah. Now, how long before you were back in the cockpit?
Oh, let's see. That was March. So April, May, June. It was, I went up for because the boss was like, hey, you know, we got to get Greg back up. So and I was right. I said, hey, let's get back on the horse. You know, you mm-hmm. get bucked off, get back on. Of course, they were worried about, there's a lot of stuff going on with me. I'd had a traumatic brain injury, and I've had over 40 surgeries since then. I've got like 46 pieces of titanium in
Jesus,
me.
Jesus, man.
And yeah.
A life well lived.
Can we take a timeout?
So yeah. If you enjoyed this former Action Guys podcast clip, make sure to subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and support the show on patreon.com by looking up former Action Guys.